Well, amen.
Now we're wired for sound. How about that?
I just remembered just now. Oh, that's not there. Okay. Proverbs chapter 1 tonight. Proverbs chapter 1. We are going to, as I kind of went back to the beginning a little bit, I've looked at some things as I begin to get into this a little bit. I've come across what is something that's quite a consistent theme in the book of Proverbs, and that is the voice of wisdom. So I want to talk about the voice of wisdom. We're going to talk about that for the next several Wednesdays. There's a lot in the Scriptures, a lot in Proverbs about it throughout it. So I wanted to kind of just take a little bit of a time and look at, we kind of touch on it here and there, but I wanted to kind of maybe just spend a little time focusing on that. And we're going to start here tonight with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets." Okay, number one, wisdom is presented as a person, as a person. So we find this throughout, and we're going to find it throughout the Scripture, throughout the Proverbs, that wisdom is considered this person. It's a little bit of a strange concept. So the Hebrew word for wisdom, and I'm not going to say, I didn't write it down, but it's not the point of what it is, but it's actually a feminine word. If you under that English, we don't have feminine and neuter and masculine words in English, but a lot of languages do have those words. And in Hebrew, wisdom is that word, which is the reason wisdom is called a woman, right? Same thing, or here is she. It's called she. Same reason that the name Israel is called she. Also a feminine word. Actually, in Hebrew, I think all place names, all cities, all that, almost every city, when it's referred to a city, you never hear a city being called he. It's always a she if there's different places in there. It really has to do with the language. Okay, so don't get too mixed up on that. That's really my thought of saying that tonight. Wisdom is not presented merely. Hold your thought there. It's not presented merely as something here. Is that going to help you? I have. There we go. It didn't update. I had my old notes, and I always edit it. I look down, I'm like, that's not the right. So it's updated. We're good. So wisdom. y'all see that look on my face? My kids, they're like, something happened there. Okay. Wisdom is not presented merely as a principle. There we go. Whew. So it's not merely as a principle, but a voice that speaks to us. We talk a lot about about Proverbs being principles or truths, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to maybe clean that up a little bit as we go down through this. But I want you to understand, wisdom is not presented as a principle mainly, but a voice that speaks to us. And so we find here that, number one under that, she cries, she calls, she utters her words. Look again at verse 20. It says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, and in the city she uttereth her words. Okay? So we find all of this concept of how wisdom is speaking in all different ways, and sometimes it's crying, calling, uttering these kind of thoughts. It's really about, sometimes it has a lot more, when we think of some of these terms, we think of more passion behind it. Maybe a better word is more urgency behind it. Sometimes there's more urgency than others. There's an old thing that said, teach your kids when they're young to when I say come, and when I say go, to the point that they will trust you no matter what, because you don't have time to explain to a kid when there's a car about to run over them, get out of the street, right? When you cry, get out of there, you know, your kids say, why? Why, Dad? Well, that was your last dumb question, right? Just kidding. That was kind of cold. But that's an illustration. But there's this thing of sometimes there's a different urgency that we say something, right? Wisdom is the same way, it gives us that concept. Number two, wisdom is addressing man. When I say man here, I'm not talking about masculine, I'm talking humans, right? People. Wisdom is addressing man. She is not just crying out to the air, right? She's not just crying out to the air, oh no, here's this thing, stuff and words and wise things out to the air, like just saying it. It's not, don't picture this idea of as a herald, and wisdom is out here and like a street preacher. Like a street preacher just shouting it out there and hoping somebody comes by and hears a bit of it. No. This is directed. Do you understand? It's being addressed to look here in verse 22 again, or not again, but yet. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And to the and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Down to verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, okay? And I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. So what I want us to just think about this. This is being addressed to man. It's not wisdom that's just generic out there. It's being addressed to man and trying to get a hold of man and in their place. Number three, wisdom is not something to observe. Wisdom is not something to observe, but something that speaks and must be answered. Okay. Something I think about, and I guess really my thought is with this, is when I really get into this, is wisdom isn't just a thought. It's not just a good thought. It's not just, here's this thing. And let me get my pocket full of wise sayings, right? Let me get a wisdom bucket to put stuff in. It's like, hey, have I showed you all the wisdom I've got in here? No, wisdom isn't something that's just to be observed and looking at somebody and say, wow, they're wise. Wow, no, that's not the concept. It's something that speaks and it must be answered. So B, the personification, right, the making of as a person is intentional. The personification is intentional. I want us to understand that this is something that's intentional. God is giving us, and we find throughout the Scripture, God gives us a way to relate to truth. It's not meant to be something that's just kind of out there and so mystical and sounds smart. You ever heard somebody that sounded really, really smart and you didn't know what they said? But they sounded smart. You're like, wow, that guy or that lady, they know stuff. And you're kind of a little bit impressed. You're like, wow, they're really smart. I like to every now and then use a big word so y'all think that about me. But I have to look at it and then I have to practice pronouncing it and then I mess it up. But, you know, sometimes people sound really smart and they said a bunch of stuff and you're done. And when they're done saying it, you're thinking, man, they're smart. And they said, what did you learn? Nothing. But it's just they're too smart for me. Right? And so it can sometimes become so unrelatable. That's not how God works. God is not trying to be so unrelatable that we can't get anything. He's trying to package it in a way that we can get it. And so that's why this thing of the personification of wisdom, it's intentional. So number one, God gives wisdom personality. So it should be treated as someone to be responded to, not merely admired. Okay? God's purpose isn't for us to be just to admire wisdom. Wow, that's someday maybe I could know stuff too. Right? That's not God's purpose. By the way, you know what that means? Who here could be wise? Well, not me. Some of y'all probably couldn't. Right? Dave's that sure. He's like, I'm not sure if he's kidding or not. Here's the point. Wisdom, if it's just admired, it's not mine. Right? Some cars that I look at, I'm like, man, that's a nice car. I'm probably never going to have that car. I don't know if I even want the car. You ever like to go to car shows? Anybody here like to go look at car shows, look at old cars? My wife does. Go look at those old cars. Bob, some people do. I like shiny cars. I've had, my wife likes it more than I. This is funny. I've learned to go like the cars because my wife does. I know, usually it's the other way around, isn't it? But I go look, and I've looked at them enough, and like, they're kind of cool. You know, I don't want one. I wouldn't mind riding in one. But I could really do with those cars? I could really admire them. Some people, they work diligently. They clean them. They build them. And they spend fortunes and hours. And they have this fancy thing. And I look at them like, it's really cool. I like them. I think they're really neat. I don't want one, though. And so when you admire something, you're not really trying to get it for yourself. You're just admiring. That's really neat for you. Right? That's neat for you, and that's really neat for you. And I think it's great. That's not what we're supposed to do with wisdom. We're not supposed to just, it's meant to be something. God has given wisdom a personality in Proverbs so that we might treat as someone to be responded to. Look at verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Okay? Okay, this is what the concept, turn you at my reproof. Like there's meant to be a response. Wisdom has something to say and someone to address. Okay? And it's personal. And this is what God is trying to get across here. Look at number two now. Wisdom calls for a response, not just a recognition. Okay? I've said this already, and I'm probably going to say it some more through this stuff, but it's for every one of us, if you're a child of God. Okay, that's the first requirement. If you're a child of God, wisdom is for you to take a hold of. It's not to just recognize. You say, Pastor, why are you going about that kind of stuff? I go on about stuff like that because I've dealt with so many people that deal with it like this. It's almost frustrating. Yeah, I know what God wants. I know. Don't start. Some people don't start praying. I know the right answer. They've recognized wisdom, but they didn't respond to it. You see, wisdom is crying out, right? It's uttering, and there's this voice, and God gave this person this personality and this the personification of this that we kind of think of a relationship, even a relationship with wisdom. So, A under there, this is so much more than truth to ingest. Okay, it's more than truth to ingest. It is how we respond to the truth that we have received. So it's not just when we look at Proverbs. A lot of times we look at this and, man, this is really good stuff. No, it's not just to take it in. It's really about how we respond to what we've received. How do we deal with it? This is the important thing. Can I say this? And I don't mean to be cold or harsh. I don't care what you know about truth. I don't think God does either. I don't think God is impressed with how much we know. Somebody says, well, I can quote 7 chapters of the Bible. Well, how many of those can you live? Right? I mean, how many of those do you live out? Not how much do you know. By the way, don't misunderstand. I'm not opposed to knowing 7. I mean, if you know chapter, great. Amen. Amen. But I would probably be more interested in somebody that spends their time responding to the Word of God than just stacking it up like it's a suitcase I'm going to carry around. Let me tell you how much. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to degrade. I think you ought to memorize it. That's why we have our kids memorize it. And every every class we have here, except for the adults, every kids class, you know why adult classes don't memorize scripture? Because then the teachers would too. No, but the thing is, we do this, it's so valuable. But I think the thing is, what we're seeing here in this communication with wisdom is a response to what we're getting. I think this is the case that we find here. So B, having knowledge of the truth does not mean one has wisdom. So in other words, knowing truth doesn't make one wise. Amen? We understand that? Knowing truth doesn't make you wise. The other way is probably you cannot be wise without knowing truth. We're going to talk about that later. But just because you know, let me say this. Let me say it a different way. Let me go third person with it. Just because someone you know knows a lot about the Bible doesn't mean they're wise. Sometimes we elevate people that, oh, they've been around God, so they've been in church since for like, you know, since Noah and so forth. They're like, they know all this stuff. Don't be overly impressed with that. Okay? I've preached, you know, people said, I forgot more than you'll ever learn. You know, oh, you're awesome, right? This kind of thing. Sometimes people say stuff like that. Here's the thing. Knowing truth doesn't make one wise, but you can't be wise without knowing truth. It's got to be part of that package there. See, where does the concept or the foundation for wisdom come from? Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? So we find this here. It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, number one, it begins with the fear of the Lord. Okay, this is what I'm saying. You can't have wisdom without knowing. Okay, you can't just, listen, A, we cannot fear the Lord without knowing Him. Right? You can't fear God if you don't know Him. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't, oh yeah, people will say stuff like this. Oh yeah, we love God. I love God, and you know, God is good. God is great, right? When I was a kid, God is good, God is great. No. Thank you for the food we eat. I can't remember how it was. It's been too long, but I don't do those prayers. But when we were kids, you learn these things like, oh yeah, my house, we prayed. It's funny, I'll go knock on someone's door through the years, and we go knock on somebody's door, go talk to them. Like, we pray every day. We pray every day. And I'm like, well, hey man, shall we pray together now? Well, don't want to do that, like with somebody, around somebody. It's like, but there's this full kind of relationship with God that's not really built out of a knowledge of God. It's built out of kind of this concept of God, right? You don't fear a concept. You don't fear a concept. We fear of the Lord comes from knowing about Him and knowing who He is. Number two, yet the fool rejects wisdom and instruction. So the fool rejects it. The fool says, I don't need to know that. The fool said there is no God. It's not even that. It's not even not like the heathen fool necessarily, but the fool that would be talking to, the one that would say, I don't need this. Could we become fools? Absolutely. Absolutely. Can a believer be foolish in their behavior? Yeah. I wish once we got saved, we got rid of all foolishness, but it doesn't quite work like that, does it? We could find season of this, but we become a fool when we reject wisdom and instruction. And so, A, under that, they do not want to be instructed in the way of wisdom, therefore they do not receive it. So, in other words, when wisdom cries out, what does the fool do? The fool stops their ears, right? Now, by the way, not the fool, but when we're all can be a fool that we quit listening. This is why Solomon is telling this to his son. Okay, there's two reasons. Yeah, you want to, I mean, listen, if you see somebody not listening, Okay, that's a fool. What are you supposed to do? What do you think you'd want to do with them? Avoid them, stay away from them, turn on, you know, don't pass by, this kind of thing. But we can become that one that God is trying to instruct us and through wisdom, and we will no longer want to receive instruction. Wisdom is not mere human, is not mere intelligence or human cleverness. So when we talk about wisdom, we're not talking about, we're not talking about Socrates, or probably that's not the right one, but Confucius, right? We're not talking about these wise sayings that come from logic. Now, there can be smart people that can say smart things that make sense. It's okay, and it's okay to follow. If people know stuff and follow some of their good advice, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand that. But that's not wisdom. Okay? Wisdom doesn't come from within us. It doesn't come from, we just got to bring it up. We've got to bring the champion from within out. No, there's no champion within. There's a sinner within, right? Therefore, there is no voice of wisdom without the knowledge of God. I wanted that to be clear on this. We're talking about the voice of wisdom. There's no wisdom. You can't hear the voice of wisdom. There's nothing. This is what I'm saying. You can't hear the voice of wisdom if you don't have the knowledge of God. It doesn't come on the air. God doesn't speak to us through ignorance. I was just sitting there one day, and God said I needed to go down to church and get baptized. No, that doesn't. God doesn't do that. We don't find that. We don't find that kind of thing. It's God uses what we already have received from His Word. Receive it by talking with others, hearing others, being in church, priest. Sometimes these little sweet kids. And older sweet kids, that less sweet, sour kids, you know, the Sour Patch kids, right? You're thinking, man, they ain't paying attention. They're little brats, and you're thinking, that kid does that one more time, he's not coming back to Sunday school, or something like that, you know? And then one day he answers a question. You're like, what? Yeah, I knew he wasn't listening. There's no way he was listening. Who told you? You know what I mean? You almost want to, like, who told it? Who gave them the answer? Like, no, they're listening. So you don't know what's getting in. I mean, sometimes I see people here that look like they found a good place for a siesta, right? And I'm like, man, they're not. And then all of a sudden they'll be like, mm-hmm. You're like, wow, that's sleep listening. You know, so I don't know. You know, I just don't know what people are doing. You know, I'm just saying, I just don't. Listen, we don't know, but I'm going to tell you, we don't get wisdom from the dust of the earth, right? Like, talk about it. It doesn't come from the dust. That's what Eliphaz tried to blame Job. It didn't come from nowhere, right? That's kind of the same way with wisdom. Now, look here, number two. Wisdom is presented as public. Public. Look again at verse 21. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. Okay, so we find those things. A, she's in the streets, at the gates, and in the concourse. Yeah, it just means it's the busy places. I tried to, like, where is the concourse? Well, the concourse is just where people meet. It's really what it is. It's all that it means. It's where the masses are, in a sense. Where the word in Hebrew is really a word that means where the people come together to do business. It's where but the concept is there, that whether it's in the streets, at the gates. When you think about the gates of the city, that's where business is taking transact. Judgment's being done there at the gates, these kind of things. And all across the city is here's the concept. It's public. It's the voice of wisdom is everywhere. Number one, wisdom is not hidden for scholars, nor is it reserved for kings. This isn't something that God is keeping away from us. And I think we know that. I just want to say that there. Number two, it is not locked away for an elite few. Her voice is everywhere that people live. So I said I was going to say this, and I said I was going to say it again, and here I am going to say it again. It's for every one of us. Okay? Don't... Wisdom is not attached to our IQ number. Does that make sense? It's not attached to our intelligence and wisdom. Can people be... Is there a such thing as some people that are unintelligent? Yes. There is an intelligent level. Some people just... They do good books, right? They do good with books, and some people like pictures, right? And I've been through different stages in my life. I'm probably at the more pictures kind of stage. But what I'm saying is, whether somebody has book smart, some people, they may not do books, but they could do stuff. Man, they could do stuff with their hands, and what they can do is amazing, but you know, they couldn't really teach somebody. They're not a teacher. Right? There's a different level. And so what I'm saying is that's okay. That's okay that we're not all the same. We found that you work with kids in school and stuff like that. You find kids are at different levels. That's okay. What I'm saying about that is that doesn't matter where you're at with that. Wisdom doesn't come from that. Any one of us can have the same level of wisdom regardless of our IQ. Amen? Aren't you, some of y'all excited about that? Amen? So what I mean by that, there's no excuse. Mary's like, he's insulting everybody. They don't get it. If you don't get it, it doesn't hurt. Listen, here's what is so awesome about that on two sides. For you and for all of us as individuals, the great thing is about that is I can have that wisdom. The great thing for me as a pastor is when somebody comes and says, Pastor, I just can't, I'm not able to understand all that. I'm like, no, wrong answer. Because that's not where it comes from. If we can't get something, if we can't get wisdom, it's because we haven't received it. It's because we haven't responded. You understand? We have no excuse for not having that wisdom. And this is what God say. If God wouldn't tell us to get something if we couldn't. Right? So this is how it works. So it really gets us to number three. Number two is short, right? Number three, wisdom is presented as persuasive. It's really presented as persuasive. Look at verse 22 now. Again, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorner delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Okay? Look here. He's asking this question. How long are you going to do that? Right? How long are you going to stay that way? You don't have to. It's a choice. A, wisdom does not merely inform. She, number one, she reproves, she reasons, and pleads. She pleads. Number two, ultimately, she is inviting us to respond. And that's what he says, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Listen, what she's saying, let what you've heard turn you. So who needs to be turned? Every one of us. You're like, well... I mean, isn't this really for the lost sinner? Isn't this for the... Listen, there's all kinds of things in our life that our spiritual growth, our relationship with God, works in levels. Really does. I think of it as a mountain with plateaus. It's kind of my image that I have in my head. There's plateaus and we're going. And when you first get saved, there seems to be a steep... learning curve, right? I mean, you just learning stuff really fast because you don't know any of it. All of a sudden, you're learning fast, and then you're going, man, you're just like, wow, this is great, and life's exciting. And then all of a sudden, you hit a plateau. You know what that plateau is? God got you to a place where you said, whoa, I'm not quite ready to give that up or to add that. I'm not quite ready for that. And so you know how long you could stay on a plateau? The rest of your life. Sometimes what will happen is you'll get over that thing, you get up to another plateau. You could live there the rest of your life. You know, listen, some believers, they grow really fast, and they get there, and they said, that's about as Christian as I want to be. That's about enough. Then what happens is, because what happens is wisdom stopped speaking to them. Is that right? No. No, because wisdom is persuasive. Right? Wisdom is still in that place. And so there becomes this place that we get this understanding. Look here, A under that. Wisdom is not simply instruction. It is calling us to turn. To turn. This is what wisdom wants us to do. And number three, and notice the promise that is included in this persuasion, verse 23, the end of it. It said, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Okay, I love this part. A, under that, wisdom gives more understanding. Okay? Wisdom gives more understanding to those who, what? Respond to it. Okay? Wisdom gives more understanding to those that will respond to it. This is why we see the plateau. You know, I've seen people get up to that level in their Christian life, stay there years. Years. And then one day in a service, one day in something in their life, they said, God, I'm tired of holding on to that. Isn't it funny how we hold on to stuff that we really hate? Right? It actually makes us sick. It loses sleep. We're talking about fear, anxiety, worry. If I get rid of that, I'm not going to. And you just live with the soul. And finally, I've watched people. They'll get to a place, they've been on this plateau for a while, and all of a sudden one day they'll go, and it could almost look like they got saved. It's so dramatic again that they, because you know what happens? Usually after they've held there so long, they listen and they respond to wisdom and they begin to grow and they're so excited they just grow, grow, grow. I think there's a song like that, isn't it? A kid's song. So what happens is there's this excitement that comes. Listen, so I'm saying wisdom is persuasive. Wisdom gives more understanding to those that will respond to her. This is the way it works. Well, I'm just not very good at that stuff. Well, start responding. That's pretty good. That's a pretty simple thing what wisdom does there. So B, this isn't more truth, okay, but greater understanding of what to do with the truth. So, what we're saying here, it's not like wisdom says, okay, now you're ready for me to tell you more stuff. You know what I think? I think we can get truth. I think we can get piles of truth and do nothing with it. And you can know stuff. I've seen some very unspiritual people that knew a lot of things about God. I mean, just unspiritual. I can remember, I got saved, and I was so new, there was this, I would, bless my heart, I would try to quote scripture, like, you know, John 3:16, and I tried to quote it, and I messed it up, and this fella, bless his heart, he would correct me. And he knew more scripture. There's another guy that would go around telling people at where I worked that about, no, I don't know if I believe in God, this and that. His grandpa was a Baptist preacher. We sit down. He knew all kinds of things about the Bible, but later on he didn't get saved, though. Praise the Lord for that. But, you know, sometimes people know a lot of stuff. But knowing, wisdom doesn't say, hey, if you'll start responding to me, I'll tell you a bunch more stuff. No, no. What wisdom says is this. It said, if you'll start responding to me, I'm gonna give you more understanding of what to do with that wisdom. You know, I think one of the greatest things in a Bible message, I think the challenge of a Bible message, preaching, sermon, there's two things. There's, what does the Bible say? What is it saying? What does it mean? Right? You got to dig that out. Okay, and then I told you what it means. Good job. Did the first part, right? I think the second part is really the harder part. It's really probably for me is more the challenge. I like to unfold the scripture, you know. Ezra and Nehemiah, we find this, you know, stand on the pulpit of wood and give the meaning, right? The second part is, what do we do with it now? What do you do with it? We call that the challenge or the conclusion, right? Number one, before wisdom ever gives instruction in Proverbs, she gives an invitation, okay? She gives an invitation. She's inviting us to hear. Number two, before she teaches us how to live, she asks us whether we will listen. And number three, the great question of Proverbs is, will you hear wisdom's voice? So here does it like, you know, Pastor, we're at church. I think, is it a value being at church? Well, let me finish. And if you lie all the time. No, you don't know what I mean. Let me finish the statement. Okay. Is it a value being at church if you're still living like the devil? Is it a value being at church if somebody sits there pouting and grumpy and wish they didn't, and they're there because if they don't go, somebody's saying, why aren't you at church? Right? You know what I mean? Right? So, hey, Devin, I better just, if I don't go, I'm not going to hear the end of it. Right? And you'll see that. That's why I think we should drag our kids to church. Drug babies. Right? Drug them to church. Right? So here's the thing. You know what can still happen? People can still get some truth. No, they're not living it. It's not wisdom. But they got this stuff that's coming in. And one day, God will do something in their life. Maybe what they need is to get saved. One day, all of that starts clicking because that's where wisdom says. It's like, okay, you have this. Here's the understanding of how you do it. You can't just watch somebody else and get that. It's what God has to give us. It's when we respond. And this is what wisdom is doing. Wisdom is crying out. She doesn't say this. I want to say that my way. She says, hey, dummy. But you know what she says? Hey, fool. That's what she says. I think dummy might sound a little nicer than fool. I don't know. But I think in Hebrew vernacular, it's about dummy. Hey, listen. I'm trying to want your attention. Do this way. And this is what Solomon is all about. The voice. And God gives her a voice, personality, so that we can see when somebody calls out to us. Question is, am I going to listen? Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, with this as we spend some weeks looking at the voice of wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help us to recognize that wisdom is crying out to us, and it's really crying out from the pages of your book. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we look at really this relationship that you want us to have with truth and with applying it to our lives, Lord, that it would be, Lord, the desires of our hearts to be wise. And Lord, we know that each and every one of us are able to be exactly that. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, would you lead, guide, and direct in these weeks ahead. And we'll give you thanks for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.